in 2018. The winner of the Sleeper Wire Pro-Am will get two tickets to a season game in 2019 of any team they choose. Whatever team you support, we're going to get you two tickets to donate $10 to Rob's GoFundMe, and you could win two tickets to a season game of your choice. Hey, sleepers, it's me, Adam. I'm talking to Steve and Hussein today. They are here with me in the studio over here at Sleeper Wire headquarters. How are you guys doing today?
Pretty good, man. Was waiting for Steve to jump in, but, you know.
Sorry, I just coughed. I'm just getting over a chest cold, so I'm feeling much better, so I'm also pretty good.
Oh, that's great, man. That's good. You know, you got to have a little bit of, you know, honey. You know, with your tea, you know, and usually works.
Are you the holistic? You're the holistic prophet now too. Like in the off season, you do it like Eastern medicine, and I like it. All right,
you gotta kind of keep your hand stirring all sorts of pots. You know, you never know. You know which one's gonna go for you. So
I hear you.
Well, we got two ingredients in the pot. We got the Philadelphia Eagles and the New England Patriots. Ooh. Stirring around in this pot. Mm. I think they're heading somewhere.
Super Bowl.
What do you guys think of the Super Bowl going on? The two teams.
It should be a really exciting match. I'm disappointed because I dislike both teams. You know, it's the Patriots and it's the Eagles. I mean, I'm a Giants fan, so I mean, just thinking of myself here, it's bad, it's sad, but it's going to be a great game. Wouldn't bet against the Patriots here. You know, they always seem to, you know, find a way to pull it out.
Steve, what do you think?
I don't really buy into all these conspiracy theories. It's going to be the Super Bowl, and it is a rematch of, well, it's when, I think it maybe have been the last time I got to really enjoy Donovan McNabb, who I went to school with in Syracuse University. And I just watched some of the highlights of the previous Super Bowl matchup between the Eagles and the Patriots. And that took me back to the matchup in Syracuse versus Virginia Tech when Donovan played Michael Vick, and I was there for it. And those memories were good. This one, I don't know. I think the Patriots are going to win. I don't think they're going to cheat. I just think they're going to win.
Donovan McNabb and Michael Vick.
That was the game. Well, the last Super Bowl when these two teams played, wasn't it? It was the game when Terrell Owens was playing with like a plate in his leg or something, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think you're right.
I mean, that was a gutsy move by him. So I think it's gonna take a lot of guts from both teams. Should be a good one. Halftime show, don't care about. Who's doing the halftime show this year?
Justin Timberlake and Janet Jackson.
No.
I think it's Justin Timberlake.
Yeah. I think it is Justin Timberlake. I think it's Justin Timberlake and Pink.
Pink.
I think it's Pink.
That'll be our.
I'm not sure, actually, but I think it's Justin Timberlake. I could be wrong.
So here's what I want to talk about, guys. I want to talk about the top 10 reasons the Patriots are going to win the Super Bowl again. Are you ready?
Yeah, let's go for it, I guess.
Number 10, Giselle. Look, married Giselle. Men are happier.
What does Giselle have to do with this?
Listen. Married men are happier. Am I right, Hussein?
This is correct.
All right. So if you're married to one of the most beautiful women on the planet, that should make you pretty happy. She actually makes more money than the most successful quarterback in the NFL.
Okay.
You never have to wake up worried about anything. Tom Brady, with this. Carefree.
I like it.
All right. Number 9, Game of Thrones. When George R.R. Martin created Game of Thrones, you know who he based the Lannisters off of? The Patriots.
The Patriots.
So you can guess who Jaime Lannister is based off of. If Tom Brady is Jaime Lannister, then who is Nick Foles? Just saying. All right. Number 8,
comeback ability. Steve, you think that the Patriots have the ability to come back from any deficit?
I do. I believe it in my heart.
Well, not only can they come back, but they bury their opponents. You remember when Tebow was all the rage for beating the Steelers? And then after that, he faced Tom Brady, who threw 6 touchdowns against him and basically effectively ended Tebow's career. Look, it goes right with number 7. Winning. The Patriots win. The Patriots' record is 34-19 in the playoffs. They are 5 wins for 9 appearances compared to the Eagles, who are 0 wins for 2 appearances. Number 6, the refs. It really helps when the refs are on your side.
It had to be said.
Number 5, the ski. The all-time leading scorer for the New England Patriots. 1,613 points. Steven Gawkowski, 62-yard field goal kicker.
The god.
Number 4, the other ski. Gronkowski, the Mark Wahlberg of the NFL. Number 3, Bill Belichick, the winningest coach of all time. 214 wins, 74 losses. Number 2, Tom Brady, the all-time pass leader, the most winning QB in the NFL. Nick Foles was 11 years old when Tom Brady was drafted to the NFL. And number 1, Dynasty. This is their 4th championship in a row. This is the Eagles' first Super Bowl with these guys since Donovan McNabb lost in the Super Bowl. And you know who he lost to? The New England Patriots. That's your top 10 reasons why the Patriots are going to win the Super Bowl again.
Good job, David Letterman. The last one's supposed to be a punchline. You've never done a top 10 list before.
Watching the Patriots and hoping for them to lose is just like a exercise in futility. It's really terrible.
That's why I can't watch a game unless it's my team in the game. I really don't want to root for a team to lose. In the Super Bowl, I want to just see a great game. I don't really care like who wins because neither one is my team. I just want to see a really good game.
I don't want to see Tom Brady win another. He has enough. Come on, give the new guy a chance. You know, come on. But, you know, it's not going to happen. He's going to win another one. And it's, you know, I'm going to have to hear my buddies talk crap about it. So that's really what I'm not looking forward to. So,
yeah. Well, there's that map out. Have you seen the map where it says Patriot fans? And it's got this little spot, you know, New England and Boston. And then, like, there's Austin, Texas, is, I think, red. And then the whole rest is Philadelphia Eagles fans.
Why Austin, Texas?
Oh, yeah, I did see that.
Why? I don't know.
Of all places. That's weird.
Austin's a weird place.
Yeah.
It's a weird place.
I guess so. Strange. But I think it'll be a good game. And I don't, you know, I was talking with Dirty Jobs about this on the halftime shows during the conference games about the Chicago Bulls when they were so dominant that people hated them just because they were so good. Your team could never win. They didn't have a chance when the Bulls were good. I feel like a lot of that hate comes from that, too. It's like, yeah, your team's never going to get into the finals because of the Patriots. But I can't hate a team like that, man. This is like a once-in-a-lifetime thing when you see a team that dominate a sport like this for so long. And it's just amazing. I mean, all the different players. Like, you got LeGarrette Blount now coming back to face the team he won a Super Bowl with, and he's going to be playing on the other side. Like, there's a lot of cool little stories going on here.
Right, for sure.
And then they do it every year with new pieces and new talent, and that they're two of their offensive and defensive coordinators are going, and they could probably do it again next year. Like, it's a system that's just amazing to watch. Cool. Just amazing to watch.
For sure. All the storylines definitely make it very interesting and even more fun to watch.
I agree. So, one of the... we could talk about the Patriots and the Eagles, but we are fantasy football focus, and the one of the coolest things that we do at Sleeper Wire is the Sleeper Wire Pro-Am. And if you guys haven't heard of the Sleeper Wire Pro-Am, it's the league that we run here at Sleeper Wire. It's got players like you've seen them on TV, Marcus awesome. Grant, Matt Harmon. It's got the Clock Dodgers in there. It's got the guys at Sleeper Bot in there. It's got the Fantasy Life guys in there. Eat Sleep Fantasy. Oh, God, I'm missing so many people here. But it's a league that fans can get into and intimately play with the pros. It's not some giant league where you're not involved at all. It is you against the pros. So, you know, we run it every year, and if you think you have what it takes to step up, let me tell you a little bit about it and see if you're interested, and we'll tell you how to join at the end of the show. So
yeah, and you never know who you're going to play with. I mean, the first year, you know, who do we have? We had the fantasy footballers. You know, I think we had some, you know, we had a few other guys. You know, so every year it's different. You know, you never know who, you know, who's going to be in it. And the coolest part about it definitely is the fact that, you know, we definitely have some, you know, some of our own listeners, you know, join. So it's definitely a fun league.
Yeah, yeah. And next year we're going to have a... Professor Chris's favorite actress in it.
Yeah, right. We'll see about that. We'll see about that.
So, all right. Let's talk about some of the things that we did in the Pro-Am so you guys can hear about it and you can hear what a good time it was. So we all had to make up names at one point, right, Steve? We had to, like, do a name.
Right. It was a week where we played a game. If you lost your game, the other team manager could change your team name and logo for the following week. So you were at the mercy of somebody else if you lost that week.
So what was the best name that somebody renamed their team to?
For me, it was Simple Jack. So it was Jake Seeley from the Roto Experts. Jake Seeley played with us, and he lost, and they renamed his team Simple Jack. And the combination of that name and a logo, which was a picture of the character from the movie, in the movie Tropical Thunder, about a challenged farmhand, where the actor, the actor in Tropical Thunder took that role to kind of like rebuild his career. And the famous line, "You never go full retard," came from that. Nope.
Everybody knows you never go full retard. You went full retard, man. Never go full retard.
So to lay all that texture right on Jake Seeley's doorstep for a week was gold to me. I loved it. And he never changed his team name back after that. Like, you were allowed to change back after a week. I don't know if he didn't care or if he just thought it was funny and he liked it, but he never changed his team name back, so that stuck with him for the year.
He just rocked it.
Yeah, he wore it with pride. I love it.
We also have the best team icon. What was the best team icon that you guys saw out there? Hoos, I'll ask you.
Yeah, it wasn't really much funny ones, you know, unfortunately, in ours, you know.
Well, we had a couple cool ones. Steve, what'd you think?
The one that caught my eye was Bell Cow Ricky. There was one week where he had a rotating Steelers logo because he's a Steelers fan. And that was cool because, like, I knew that you could put animated GIFs as team icons, but he was the first one in our league to figure it out. So I was impressed with that.
And we also had the best comeback award that we have to mention, because we had a guy, Joseph Bishop, in the league who started off 0-5. And Steve, as part of the league, you do a podcast for the league members. And in that podcast, you had a fantasy intervention. Let's listen to that intervention.
Play calling or matchups. Losing is a wicked disease. It changes everything about the way you think, what you want, what you love, and who you are. But there's treatment available to you, Joseph. You don't have to keep living like this. There's help available. It's called Sleeper Wire. And if you choose not to listen to Sleeper Wire today, I want you to know that I'll always love you, but I will not be able to stand by and watch you lose anymore. I've learned that giving you fab dollars and ignoring the signs are only helping you to remain 0-5. So if you choose not to get help, I'm not going to do those things anymore. If you do choose to listen to Sleeper Wire, however, I promise you, I will be there to support you and help you in any way I can. And either way, I love you. From commish to a manager, no homo, that's my letter. after that intervention, Joseph turned his life around. Week six, he went on a 7-4 run, including the playoffs, and he finished the year above 500. So that's a hell of a comeback for a guy who started off so poorly.
So and the best win. What was the best win for the NFC?
For the NFC, I'd have to say our best win was probably week.
I just was looking at your schedule here. You guys had a tie, like an actual tie in, what was it, week two? 121-121. How do you break that? Or do you just get each a loss or each a win? Like, how did you guys do that?
We played
not the Sleeper Wire team. It was 515 and Sleeperbot. Both scored 121.
515 and Sleeperbot.
Yeah.
We played Jacob Redmond. We had 117. He had 93.
I didn't see a tie in our league. We had one game that caught my eye in terms of like the best win. I think it was week 11. Eight Sleep was starting to make his comeback after kind of a weird start, going 50-50. He played Kotidi Bad UK, which was our listener from England. And the final point margin was 0.1. It was 151.2 to 151.1.
Point two, point one. Yeah, how frustrating does that have to be?
Like literally a yard.
Man, that's fantasy though.
It was that last fantasy football. It's one of those last play, like last pass, got just enough yardage for that little fraction point. But that was a good win. I like to watch that one.
Well, the worst loss in our league came week six, right? Bell Cow Ricky with 39.5. For his highest player at 7.5 points against Marcus Grant, who had 95 points. Nobody broke 100 that week.
These are guys know their stuff. I mean, they've hit on a lot of their, you know, fantasy, you know, like when they've come on our shows, they've hit on a lot of stuff that, you know, they've said, you know. So, I mean, they've gave great fantasy advice, you know, but when you're in a lot of leagues, sometimes, you know, it pans out. I mean, I finished, I think, last in our, you know, in our own league of record. You know, I had a terrible season, but you know, it's, you know, I'm not gonna say, you know, like I'm a bad fantasy player because I know I kick ass.
Oh no, and I'll give Marcus Grant credit. He because he was on the show a couple of times before the season started, and he had a couple sleepers, and he drafted those sleepers, and he stuck by the guys that he likes preseason. And yeah, I mean, it just based on matchups or whatnot, he just didn't do as well as I had expected. But you know, he stuck by his guns, he stuck by his picks, which I respect. And those picks ended up, like you said, Hussein, Cooper Kupp was a great call. That guy was great for him on his team. So his picks definitely panned out. They just didn't have that full team cohesion to make a championship run.
Yeah, and sometimes just, you know, it's a luck of schedule. You know, you get that. But even though the way our pro-am, it kind of wasn't designed for luck of schedule, we kind of made it to where you eliminated luck of schedule. So I kind of can't say that.
Well, so the reason we're telling you guys all this and we're going through all these different scores and things that people did, it's because we give out trophies, we give out awards throughout the season. So some of those awards that we gave out was the Whiskey Dick. No. The whiskey.
What? The whiskey. I think the whiskey one was for lowest score. Like, he got the whiskey dick. Like, he couldn't perform that week, so he got the lowest score in the league, but he won a prize.
Right, and Woodwick leather candles we gave out, and some very homoerogenous artwork there. We definitely got you covered there. So
you got to explain that a little bit better. That didn't sound good at all. No, we had prizes for like, there was a week where we did a prize for biggest margin of victory. We gave closest margin of victory, had a prize one week. You get like a shaving kit of stuff. And there was another one, some like best overall point value or something like that. So there was more than just a championship trophy on the line. There was lots of stuff to do, little extra prizes throughout the season, a couple weeks here and there.
Yeah. the Ivan Drago Award, Beast Mode Award. We had all these different little trophies you could get throughout the season. So again, if you're interested in being part of the Sleeper Wire Pro-Am, why don't you guys join? And you can join by just donating to Rob. And we will continue to tell you how to do that at www.gofundme.com/RobJR. $10 gets you in. It starts today. You guys can get into the Pro-Am. Donating now gets you in for next year.
I was just going to look at the standings, our final standings for each league here. And I'm pumped up here because you got a listener team, one in your league, Hoost, the NFC. And then you had two more listener teams finish in the top six, which is awesome. Our league had a pro from Eat Sleep Fantasy win, but then we had a listener team take second, third, and fourth. So Adam's inviting the listeners to play, but we get some sharks in these leagues, man. These guys are good. So this is not just a fun league. I mean, it's fun, but it's a challenge.
And it's growing every year?
Right. It's growing every single year. And next year's prizes are even better. In 2018, the winner of the Sleeper Wire Pro-Am will get two tickets to a season game in 2019 of any team they choose. Whatever team you support, we're going to get you two tickets to donate $10 to Rob's GoFundMe, and you could win two tickets to a season game of your choice.
All right, guys. You know, we're itchy. You know, we're feeling like, you know, it's out of it. I mean, sure, you can play, you know, some FanDuel, some DraftKings, those things. But, you know, we want to know who the top guys are already. You know, the guys that are just itchy to know. We're going to do it here, at least just one round of it. You know, we're just going to rotate Adam, myself, Steve. You know, we're just going to go back and forth. One round, just mocking the first round of fantasy drafts next year. We're going to kind of project, obviously, without the rookies. Well, you shouldn't be drafting rookies anyway in the first round, right? Here we're going to go.
Go alphabetical. Adam, who's Steve? Works for me.
There you go.
All right, there you go.
I was going to do it like Cards Against Humanity and say the last person that took a shit goes first, but we can do alphabetical. My first choice will be David Johnson.
David Johnson, wow. Do you want to expand on why you're choosing David Johnson over so many other players coming off of an injury, coming into a new system, learning?
I think he got the whole year to rest. He was the number one last season. He's going to be the number one again this year. What he can do behind that line, what he can do for that team, no reason he's not going to be an RB1. As of January 24th, 2018, let's see what it becomes in July, August, September. So as it sits now, I think David Johnson's the number one pick.
Well, they've gone ahead and hired Steve Wilks as their head coach. So we'll see who he puts together.
What do we know about
as their defensive coordinator? I would have liked to see Todd Haley go there.
Oh yeah,
but you know he went to the Browns. It's my pick here. I'm going to go with Todd Gurley here.
Todd Gurley. All right. I don't think anyone's going to argue with you on that one.
Yeah. I mean, 383 points, fantasy points. I mean, he just blew everyone away. Next guy, you know, that was close to him, you know, that was 40 points away, and that was Lev Bell.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, I was going to go with Lev Bell, who also was just phenomenal. But Gurley was just such a beast. I don't know how you can pass on him.
And you put me in the hot seat now, because now I got to look at Lev Bell and I got to look at Jay Ajayi and I got to make a decision.
These are tough choices.
I'm drafting Ezekiel.
Really a Sophie's choice you got there.
Right? Yep. Yeah. No, I'm taking Elliott in pick three. Elliot would have been pick one, two, okay, or three
Elliot,
for me.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Hopefully he'll play a whole season, keep out of trouble. The only thing, I didn't go with Bell. I'm just a little concerned about his contract. And I don't know if he's going to be on the Steelers. I can't see him not being on the Steelers. There's just a little doubt there. Just a little bit of doubt. And doing this early of a draft, you know, come closer to season time, I'll know a lot more. But I'd be happy with either one of those guys.
You know, at least, you know, the talks were progressing. So,
yeah.
You know.
I can't see them letting go of him. The guy's a superstar. Yeah. That would just be weird to not see him in the Steelers uniform. Adam, you're up. Pick two.
So I would pick Lev Bell. I'd actually pick Lev Bell third over Ezekiel Elliott. Just too much drama surrounding Ezekiel Elliott. Still, I like Lev Bell better, and I would definitely take my team of RB1 David Johnson and RB2 Lev Bell any day of the week.
Well, but this isn't your team. This is right. You're picking at the four spot. This guy thinks this is just, you know, I get two picks in the first round. Look at me.
It's like a dynasty league.
All right, and did you have anything more to expand on?
Everybody knows. I don't think there's much to say about Lev Bell that hasn't already been said.
So. 91 yards, 9 touchdowns, 85 freaking receptions.
Yeah, the guy is a monster. He's 2 years ago when Lucas drafted him and won the league, or came in second to Rob, he said Lev Bell is a human cheat code. And that has been true for almost every team that I've had him on. He can win you weeks by himself.
Do you think anything's going to change for the Steelers offense with the offensive coordinator going out of town?
I think it matters more if Big Ben comes back or not.
I don't know. I think he's too good of a... whoever's going to come in there, they know what works. I mean, Tomlin's still there.
And they've all been doing this for so long together. I'm not worried. I'm not worried.
Right. Yeah, and speaking of not being worried, I'm going to take Antonio Brown with that next pick. First wide receiver off the board. 101 receptions, 1,500 yards, 9 touchdowns, 162 targets. And that's with, you know, him losing targets to Juju, him losing targets to Martavis, to Bell. Bell saw 107 targets. Brown is just a beast. You know, he's just so good. You know, and he could easily go above all of these guys. But, you know, he's fallen here. And, you know, I could have actually taken him over Todd Gurley. But, you know, I feel like, you know, those sure backs are kind of tough to come by. And, you know, you can get a, you know, Brown like, I mean, I don't want to say like you get a bunch of guys like him, but, you know, Hopkins is up there. I think, you know, Keenan Allen isn't very far away. You know, Michael Thomas, you know, shouldn't be next year. You know, he had an awesome year, you know. So, I think this is an awesome place for him if you can get him here. Brown, yeah.
I got to be honest. And we're doing just the first 12 picks at the first round here. I got to be honest. Antonio Brown this year might be one of two. Or maybe, like you said, like maybe three wide receivers in the first round, if that. I think it's going to be mostly running backs. And in the sixth spot, I will be taking a running back as well. Probably be Melvin Gordon at that spot. He's probably the most trustworthy. I was kind of between him and Devonta Freeman, but you always got, I mean, he's still got Coleman there. So I'm sticking with Melvin Gordon in the sixth spot.
It's a good pick.
Because I think, I think this year it's going to be running back heavy. Most of us, I think it's SleepWire, did running back heavy last year for the most part, and it paid off. But people
except
catch
for
up.
Bruce, who does tight end heavy.
Well, he's got his own thing, but people adjust.
I got a little too freaky, you know, with that, you know, with that particular league. You know, I did well in other ones, you know, so it's just obviously, you know, I took you guys for granted, I guess, you know, and that was a mistake.
But yeah, I think the only other wide receiver I could see going in the first round, like if right now, would be Hopkins. And there's still a couple running backs I'd pick before I'd snag him.
Well, so I'm up, and here's the dilemma I'm suffering with. You picked, right, Steve?
I did. I took Melvin Gordon.
So I have to decide between Alvin Kamara and Kareem Hunt, because those are the next two that I see. And I think Hunt is the better option moving forward. So I would choose Kareem Hunt, who has that big play ability to just give you 20 points, 30 points, 40 points in a game. And I don't think Alvin Kamara ever reached the ceiling that Kareem Hunt did. So that would be the reason I'd choose him before.
You bastard. You took my Kareem Hunt. Not like he was going to be on my team. Really, it's not like it's a real three-player draft. But still, that would have been pretty sexy. Todd Gurley, Kareem Hunt, and Antonio Brown. It's a pretty nice team.
Thinking like this is start your team.
Kareem Hunt, man, he's a beast. You know, led all running backs in rushing yards. That's my boy. I've been called him earlier in the year. He was one of my sleepers that I'm glad really, really, really paid off. So, I thought he would be a top 12, you know, and he kind of blew that. He even blew that away.
Do you think Kareem Hunt can have a better year than what he had, or is it going to fall back down to a more reasonable, like, I don't want to say consistently game to game, because he had a couple of weeks there where he just, we're still trying to figure it out, if it was his thing, Andy Reid thing, game flow thing, or whatever. You feel he could be consistent RB1 first rounder this year?
Well, it's all about if he gets the work,
right?
You know, when he gets the work, he's just a beast. You know, when you're going to limit him to 12 touches, you know, 9 touches, 10 touches, 11 touches, it's not going to work for anyone. It's not going to work for your offense. It's not going to work for fantasy owners. It's not going to work for Kareem Hunt. You know, I mean, the guy needs, you know, to have the ball, you know, touching the ball in all facets. I mean, he's great at everything. You know, I mean, I don't want to say he's great at everything. He's good at everything. And, you know, he should be their total offense. You know, they should be running the ball through him. You know, I understand that they, you know, possibly wanted to keep him fresh. Maybe they thought, you know, they'd make the playoffs or something like that. But I don't know. But yeah, Kareem Hunt, he's a beast of a back. I wouldn't expect him to take much of a hit next season, if there was one.
All right, well, Adam's got him officially now for next season, because this is our official draft next season. It's your turn now.
Team's looking stacked.
It's your turn, Hoos.
I don't know. I guess you got Kamara, and you got Hopkins here. I think I'm going to go with Hopkins here. I think with, the quarterback coming back, you know, he had Savage back there, and he still was just a beast, you know, I mean, freaking 13, almost 1,400 yards, you know, 13 touchdowns, you know, he had 175 yards, not yards, targets. So, I mean, that kind of volume leads to, you know, great production. Hopkins, he had 96 receptions as well. He was just a beast. And, you know, as Steve was alluding to, there's not really much wide receivers you're going to take in the first round. Maybe Odell Beckham, you know, maybe A.J. Green. Maybe, I don't know if people are going to take Julio now. Even though he was still really good, he just, you know, had a couple of dud weeks. But just
no touchdowns.
Yeah, and the touchdowns just
weren't there.
And
Evans, too. Evans, I mean, Evans was all right.
But well, Evans was far from all of these guys. I mean, yeah. Evans was, what, like a mid wide receiver, too.
No, but I mean, he was getting drafted first round last year. I was listening to some old, our Evans old mock drafts.
Draft rank.
Yeah.
Sorry. Evans' average draft rank was 6.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, we had him in a lot of leagues. We had him in the Scott Fishbowl League, and he kind of crapped us there.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, we still came in though. First yeah, in the division, I mean, right?
Still
didn't we?
At our conference, you know, the conference, and points, and you know, unfortunately, the week after that in the semifinals, we didn't, you know, I think we lost to a listener or something like that. But you know, when I was looking at the finals in the Scott Fishbowl League, there were a lot of listeners there. So kudos to those listeners that kicked all the analysts' asses,
right? All 500. Am I up?
It's my turn, and I'm trying to make a decision between, because I'm going to go running back again. This is the ninth spot in a 12-team first round, and there's still a couple of bell cow running backs left. I got McCoy, Freeman, and Jordan Howard I'm looking at, and I think I'm going to take, if I were in this position, I think I would take Jordan Howard.
Wow. Really?
Jordan yeah. Howard in the first round.
No way.
Yeah.
No way. I don't see that happening for me.
In this position, I think I would. I know McCoy's great. McCoy had a little touchdown phobia this year for a while as well. And another year older.
Howard's over Kamara? Younger.
Oh, is Kamara still available? Dude, that's a hard one. All right, so that's a hard one. no, that's a hard one. I wouldn't pick Kamara in the first round. Unless really? Ingram is out of the picture. And Kamara has a very good hold on a majority. Or if Kamara has a majority of the carries. I don't think.
Fournette? Fournette's out there.
That he's still a second rounder for me.
Okay.
Wow, but Howard's a first rounder, huh?
I think so.
And I mean, Tariq Cohen doesn't scare you at all?
Nah, dude, I saw some footage of the Bears in the locker room after the game. Tariq Cohen looks like a 14-year-old against those guys. He is so little. There is no way he is becoming a starting running back for any NFL team. He is way too small.
Okay.
I mean, he's a gadget player, and he's fast, and he can. And if they used him right, he'd be, you know, phenomenal. Could be really explosive player. But, dude, he's really tiny. I don't see him standing up to a workload.
I mean, Jordan Howard did have more yards than Fournette. He had more yards than Carlos Hyde. He had almost as much yards as McCoy, but he had more touchdowns than him. So I mean, yeah, the yardage was there. He had more yards than Melvin Gordon as well. You know, he actually had more touchdowns as well. So yeah, he was kind of sneaky. You know, he was kind of sneaky in that regard.
Well, he was on a crappy team, but he got the job done for fantasy. So
yeah,
but he didn't always get it done. He was there. Some weeks he did, and some weeks he didn't. Yeah. We had him in the pro-am, and he was a little frustrated.
In your lineup, and just kind of like hope that, you know, he didn't kill you.
Yeah, but at this point in the draft,
I wouldn't trust him as my RB1.
But at this point in the draft, Adam, there's nobody left that got it done every week. We stopped.
I take Shady. That would be my next choice.
I would have probably taken Kamara or Fournette.
Well, they're both available for you guys. Because it's Adam's pick next. You want me to put you down for a little Shady McCoy?
Hey, I tell you what. My Lev Bell, David Johnson, Kareem Hunt, LeSean McCoy.
Oh, man.
That's my RB4.
You sound like Curtis's team.
Real strong.
I don't know, though, man. I've got Antonio Brown. You know, I've got Todd Gurley. You know, so my team is looking pretty stacked as well.
I'll see you in the playoffs.
Who are you taking here?
I took LeSean, so that means you're up. Who's?
All right, LeSean McCoy. It's a good pick. It's a good pick. Yeah. All right, I'm gonna take Beckham. He's back. Yep. You know, he's healthy. You know, I think Pat Shurmur's gonna do great things for him. He's gonna put him in a lot of great positions. I like Odell coming back. We've seen a lot of guys come off, you know, this kind of injury and do just phenomenal. You know, Jordy Nelson, you know, a year before he came out and, you know, and led, you know, all receivers in fantasy points, you know, after coming off the ACL tail. Love Odell Beckham coming back, especially this late, you know, can get him this late, in a draft in the first round.
So the Giants implosion doesn't worry you with Odell Beckham next year?
Not at all. I don't see much of an implosion here. I mean, a lot of the guy, he's he's their most talented piece. He's, you know, the offense is going to flow through him unless they get, you know, like, Barkley or something like that.
What if they get rid of Eli and they have to depend on a rookie quarterback?
Well, I mean,
if that's the case, are you still, my question is, if that's the case, are you still drafting him first round?
I mean, you look at DeAndre Hopkins, what he's, you know, what kind of quarterback he, you know, he has, you know, the talent is there. You know, the guy is just that talented. You throw a ball up in his direction and Beckham's going to grab him. That's pretty much it.
Yeah.
All right. Final pick of the first round. This one I'm kind of looking at as if I had the wraparound pick as well, because there's still a couple of running backs that I would consider being decent RB1s. We still got Freeman out there. We still got Dalvin Cook, Kamara, Fournette. Those are all guys I'm looking at. So I think I would probably go Fournette here. And then on the wraparound, look at all those beautiful wide receivers I got to choose from. Julio, AJ, Michael Thomas. I mean, there's Keenan Allen I could grab on the flip there. So this is making me... I could go to Kamara. I could get T.Y. I mean, there's so many guys that I could snag here. Or I could do two running backs. So just looking at this first 12 picks, only three wide receivers, nine running backs. And I have a feeling that a lot of drafts are going to go like this next year. It's going to be running back. That's going to dry up very quickly. And you're going to have to look for some value in running backs in the middle rounds. So, Hoos, I need you to watch a lot of tape this offseason, man. I need you to give me lots of tips about these incoming rookies.
Sleepers. I got you. I'll be watching
some unsigned free agents. Guys
are moving. They're running a route, seeing how they're turning, contorting their bodies. That's why I love Robbie Anderson so much, in the offseason, saying, those little things, looking back in the offseason, looking at those little plays, seeing off those breaks, those little moves like that, those are so important, looking at those plays to see how these guys are going to come out in the next season. so if they have that talent, and they're going to see the targets, it should lead to something, what we like to call a fantasy sleeper.
I just, I picture you there sitting, the feet out, and it's got to be tan or beige or something, and the warm glow of the TV is on you, and you're just replaying with your old 1980s clicker, watching the watching the plays over and over and over again, just studying them.
You know it.
Tweeting out, this guy right here, he's the one.
You know it.
All right.
Exactly how it gets done.
Is that the end of the... That's the end of the draft?
That's the end of the first round. So it was DJ, Gurley, Elliott, Bell, Brown, Gordon, Hunt, Hopkins, Howard, McCoy, Beckham, and Fournette were your first 12 picks in this very, 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 very early 2018 mock draft.
Yes, and before the armchair critics get out there and tell us how terrible this draft is, we'll replay this. Come beginning of the draft season, we'll come back to this episode, we'll replay it, and we'll see how close it is then, and we will either agree or disagree with you. We'll probably disagree.
These guys are half of these guys will either be arrested or injured. Suspended.
That off-season circus is starting up soon. Didn't Robbie Anderson already get in a little bit of trouble?
Yeah, he sure did.
Yeah, he did. Didn't he try to outrun the police or something?
That he was going
to
have sex with his wife or something like that.
Come on,
day for the police officer.
Oh, man. I did not foresee that one, guys.
You can't prophesize behavior. That's fair enough.
Well, guys, thanks so much for being on the Pro-Am Draft and Top 10 Reasons Why the Patriots Will Win the Super Bowl Again. Thanks a lot for listening, guys, man. Thanks a lot for being on. If you want to be in the Pro-Am next year, remember, $10 to Rob, www.gofundme.com/RobJR, or you can go on to sleeperwire.com. So thanks a lot, and we'll talk to you later.